The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Danker and Manisha Tank with you. Today's the day I get spotted and I'll become an
esports professional. Star. I would miss you, Elliot. I would miss you. But
I'll be a sports star.
You'd be a sports star. I hope you'd remember me. But anyway, whoever knew that gaming and esports would be taken so seriously as it is today?
Do you remember when it first started out, the kind of negative stigma that was surrounding it? Parents were unhappy that, you know, they're probably still unhappy that kids are staring at their computer screens for so long, talking to someone, say, from the other side of the world, some complete strangers.
Yeah, but nowadays, competitions are often held. The prize money is pretty good as well. For example, an annual Premier Dota 2 tournament broke the record for holding the largest prize pool to date for any esports tournament, amounting to over $25 million.
See? You're earning more money than a tennis star.
That's incredible.
I'm not joking here. Big brands, Louis Vuitton, Adidas, all jumping on the bandwagon. They partner with gamers or gaming influencers to grow their business.
Yeah, and in the Southeast Asian gaming market is set to grow 22% this year to $4.6 billion US dollars, reflecting one of the fastest growing gaming regions in the world.
Well, enters Ampverse. They aim to connect brands with gaming and esports audience, tapping on into the rapid growth in the esports in this region. In fact, they recently launched in Southeast Asia, starting operations in Thailand and Singapore.
Yeah, so why are we seeing such a growth in esports in this part of the world? And why are big brands making their move to work with gaming influencers?
Well, we have with us in the studio Charlie Bailey, the co-founder and chief commercial officer at Ampverse. Charlie, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So let's talk, starting off with Ampverse. How did this come about? Is it because maybe you're a gamer yourself?
I've been a sort of a casual gamer all my life. Yeah, growing up, you know, a big FIFA player and Call of Duty.
Very good.
But yeah, I spent a lot of the early part of my career in the entertainment industry and in the music industry, specifically working with a lot of music talent. And then, yeah, the Ampverse came about, you know, a couple of years ago. We started kind of incubating the idea, my co-founders and I. So there's four of us in the business. Two of us are more from kind of the media advertising side of the business, and two come from a gaming background working for companies like Twitch. And we started talking about the business and felt that there was a real opportunity, particularly in this side of the world, to sort of help celebrate and kind of identify, nurture and grow the talent, because in this part of the world there's such great talent, to really sort of start to kind of bring them and help them realize their potential.
I think there are a lot of people listening right now who might be thinking that they want to just understand this a bit more deeply because it's so new to so many people. So far as Ampverse goes, you champion the region's leading gaming talent and you help them partner with brands. How does it work? And can you give us some examples?
Sure. So yeah, effectively, there's a few different parts of the business. So one is we have a talent management side of the business. So much in the way you're, you know, familiar with, you know, companies representing talent, representing sports stars, tennis players, footballers, etc. We're doing very much the same thing, but within the kind of gaming and esports space. So within the space, you've got obviously kind of content creators who are, you know, creating content on platforms like YouTube, Facebook, or gaming specific platforms like Twitch. And these guys and girls are building audiences by the millions through the content they create. So we work with a lot of those talent to then help pair them to brands. And then equally, there's the kind of more professional side of the ecosystem, which is starting to grow, which is esports specifically. So esports is a small subset of an overall, you know, gaming market, which is kind of, you know, as I said, the professionalization where, you know, teams are competing, as you rightly said a minute ago, for, you know, significant prize pools. So we work with those teams to, you know, to pair them with brands, to help broker sponsorship deals, increasingly build out merch lines for them and help them kind of monetize and grow their business effectively.
I'm curious about the benefits of partnering with these, let's call them gaming influencers. Could you give an example of a partnership between a brand and a gaming talent that's gone far?
Sure, yeah. I mean, there's a sort of number of different examples in terms of the way that brands can work with sort of talent or within this space. You know, historically, brands have sort of struggled to know where to enter into the kind of gaming space and how to partner. But today, there's a whole plethora of ways. So it can be, you know, working with specific content creators in a market in a more kind of influence-led way where they will create branded content on behalf of the brands and they'll distribute that across their social social channels,
right.
or they might do product placement incorporating specific brand within their communication that goes out onto these channels, or you have the kind of teams which, you know, it's more of a traditional sports sponsorship way where you can brand teams in terms of their shirts, all of the content that they create when they're at physical appearances and performing in different events. Obviously, brands can partner with them to benefit from the audiences that they build.
Like even a makeup brand can get in on the action. It's amazing. You could be a gamer. You know, they look at like someone like Manisha. Yeah, there's so many opportunities for it. A gamer could represent in so many different perspectives, right?
For sure. I think, there's definitely a myth that for many, you know, people, they think that sort of gaming is just young teenage boys in dark rooms playing video games for hours and hours. And of course, there's a male audience. It's much broader than people think. In Southeast Asia, it's about a 60-40 split. It skews a lot older than people think, from people playing casual games on the MRT on the way to work through to bankers playing FIFA when they get home to release from a day's pressure, through to kids playing them on a more kind of frequent basis. So it's much broader than people think. And we're starting to see that in terms of the talent we work with, where there's a lot of great young female talent starting to build audiences. There's older talent, there's younger talent. And as a result, there's more opportunities for brands to kind of participate and find the right talent to work.
So you've come to Southeast Asia and particularly Singapore and Thailand. Why?
As a founding team, there's four of us who started the business, and we're actually split between Bangkok and Singapore. So obviously the practical element to it. We actually used Thailand as our sort of incubating market that we first launched a business, for the reason that largely that Thailand's a very buoyant digital market, as I'm sure you can imagine, and it's also a very buyant gaming market. So it's a very good sort of test case. There's a lot of great talent building audiences. So it was a good way for us to kind of prove the business and prove the model. Singapore is obviously, you know, the regional hub for a lot of the big brands, a lot of big agencies who are ultimately the clients we work with. So we use this as our base to then kind of expand across the region. So starting in Thailand and Singapore, but we're now starting to work in Indonesia, Philippines, etc., as we move out across SEA.
Let's get a quick outlook from you, Charlie, with regard to the esports sphere here in Southeast Asia. We've got esports entered as a medal event for the 2022 Asian Games. This is happening in Hangzhou, huge market in China. You're here in Southeast Asia. Where do you see it growing?
Yeah, as you mentioned in introduction, you know, the market here in Southeast Asia is forecast to grow about 22% this year to, you know, just shy of $5 billion. But when you look at the global gaming business, it's a $150 billion market. About 50% of that approximately is in Asia. Mm-hmm. Obviously, China accounts for a big portion of that, about 50%. So Southeast Asia specifically, in the grand scheme of things, is still relatively modest. However, it's growing exponentially. We're obviously in a very mobile-first market. So what you're starting to see is a lot of the kind of game publishers, particularly who are creating and launching mobile-first games, are building audiences very, very quickly. And the same is true of the talent involved. We work with talent that, you know, weren't even necessarily playing games or streaming maybe 12, 18 months ago, but already have 3-4 million people following them on their various social channels. The audiences are building very quickly. We're certainly starting to see that the brands investing in this space is really starting to step up. You know, you mentioned, you know, sort of luxury brands, beauty brands like Louis Vuitton doing big global brands, made a lot of waves recently given their partnership with League of Legends. But you're seeing a lot of FMCGs like Unilever, AirAsia, and it's a real broad mix of sort of brands entering to this space. So I think we're just at the start of the opportunity here. There's sort of headline numbers around $25 million, etc. It's fantastic and it's staggering for some, but we're really just at the start of this journey, I believe.
And Charlie, you've just mentioned that a lot of these games are going straight to mobile. I suppose then that 5G will be massive for you.
Sure, for sure. Yeah, 5G is, you know, it's, I think, of all the kind of entertainment mediums, it's going to have the most impact on gaming because it's going to increase the experience, reduce the latency. And for anyone who plays games, obviously the experience and the speed of which you can play has a huge impact. So 5G is only going to accelerate that. It's only going to help with, obviously, the distribution of these games, the user experience, particularly as you go out into the more kind of rural parts of the region. Mm-hmm. Then it's going to just kind of help kind of accelerate the growth of audiences. So yeah, we're really excited about what that can do.
Earlier, you referenced me as possibly being a gamer, and I looked really confused because about as far as I've got is Super Mario Kart with my kids. No and one's going to line up and pay to watch me play that. Come on.
You never know.
That's not true, right?
Yeah. Have you ever been really surprised by the things that have flown?
In terms of what the talent, yeah. or it's more just the speed of which, you know, like as I mentioned a minute ago, there's sort of talent that you've not heard of, mm. and then all of a sudden that they've come from nowhere almost in terms of how they build audiences. I think largely to the fact that it's just the authenticity of the way that these kind of, you know, kids and these kind of creators are kind of producing content and connecting with their audiences. There's no kind of falsifying, there's no kind of pretense around it. So, you know, particularly with younger audiences, you can just connect very, very quickly.
So I worked with a producer about 5 years ago who was a huge fan of Twitch. And whenever he wasn't working on the show, he was in between watching Twitch and watching people. And I leaned over his shoulder one day and said, what is that? I was hooked. And I can't describe how watching someone play this game, and you actually sort of, you sing along with the game, like, yeah. ooh, how did you do that?
It's,
that's amazing.
It's strangely addictive.
It is. It really is. Elliot, please.
Gosh. Well, all I did was beat Bayern Munich 7-0 on FIFA last night. That's
there
just
you
my,
go. Congratulations.
My resume for you, yeah.
Try to get spotted.
I'll give you my card after we finish.
I'm going places, man. Can this market potentially get overcrowded, or is that light years into the future?
I think we're a long way from that in terms of the kind of commercial opportunity. If you think of esports as a sort of commercial entity, like you think of other sports or other entertainment, you know, as I mentioned, whilst the numbers are sort of, you know, significant and they're growing, we're really, really just at the very early stages. And I think brands are just starting to test the water with this. Sure. They're just starting to understand actually the value that they can have in terms of connecting audiences. And I know that, you know, big mainstream brands like MasterCard have come out publicly saying how, you know, sponsorship investment with esports has outperformed some of their kind of more traditional sports and entertainment. Sure. So, you know, have more and more brands kind of, you know, communicating like this is obviously just going to build sort of credibility around the space. And, you know, as you said, with things like 5G and connectivity in the way that, you know, the games can build audiences and distribute their games quicker and quicker, I don't see it changing or slowing down anytime soon.
Opinion question: how long before esports takes over the Olympics?
Very good question. There's been lots of back and forth of that. I mean, I know there was some talks about it in the next Olympics. I think it will happen. I think there's obviously some discussions to kind of find what the right game is and kind of, you know, that aligns with the Olympics right. in terms of the kind of values that they account for. But I think in the next, you know, 2 or 3 Olympics, we'll see it.
But money-wise, it's not that far off. And that's the beauty of esports.
Yeah, as you said, I mean, you know, you've got people winning the Fortnite World Cup, winning, you know, $3 million. Dota 2 that you referenced earlier on in Shanghai, $25 million plus prize pool. You know, these are significant numbers. And, you know, the individual players who are, you know, who are winning those money is on par with, you know, as you mentioned, sort of winning Wimbledon or other kind of major sporting events. So the money is there, but it's also that there's a lot way to come. The ecosystem is just starting to build, you know, and we don't have anywhere near the same level of sort of, you know, maturity or sophistication that other traditional sports businesses have. But you're starting to see that teams hiring sports psychologists, building dietitians, all the support infrastructure that you'd sort of see around traditional sports, you're starting to see that happen here, which is a great thing because you need that. And if you're a young kid dealing with the pressures of competing in the Fortnite World Cup or what have you, you need to have that support around you.
Yeah, it was a teenager who won, wasn't it? Yeah. Fortnite. Oh, goodness. And I was just reminiscing about playing Summer Olympics with my brother on the Commodore 64.
Wow.
Do the maths, people.
We're going back a little now.
Yeah. All right, no need to point it out. So I did want to ask you a little bit of a tricky question. So we've had a few news headlines recently mm-hmm. that have... of some really pretty terrible things that have happened in the world that have been broadcast on platforms like Twitch and Facebook Live. And these are platforms where people, gamers, are also present. And people who have done some real life, fairly negative things based on, and people have said it's based on things like Fortnite. There is no research to prove the point. But how, as someone who's managing brands as well, how do you deal with those difficult conversations?
Yeah, it is a challenging one. I think, you know, as you mentioned, there's, you know, people are always going to sort of hypothesize around, you know, the connections around gaming and violence. But you could say the same thing of movies or of, you know, song lyric. This kind of has been part of the kind of dialogue in kind of press for a number of years. There is no direct correlation that's been proven, as you say, and I personally don't see that happening. But at the same time, it's, you know, it's important that platforms like Twitch, platforms, you know, whether it be Facebook or other, police the platforms appropriately and make sure that, you know, the content that's broadcast on that, the conversations, the dialogue is in the right manner. So it's good that it's a discussion point and it should continue to be because it makes sure that, you know, the right checks and conversations are being had. And for us, you know, as in terms of representing the talent, It's our job to understand at the brand, understand at their objectives, and pair them with the right talent that have the right kind of values and can represent the brand in the right way. And obviously, different brands, you know, want to align themselves with different types of talent in the same way that, you know, we see that with music, movies, sport, etc. So it's the same sort of thing. It's just trying to find a kind of common values, brands and talent that can connect and create something that's valuable both for the talent's audiences and for the brand's audiences.
We've been speaking this morning to Charlie Bailey, who is the co-founder and chief commercial officer at Ampverse. Charlie, thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
Thank you for having me, guys.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.